Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Brandy McAlexander. Brandy is joining us today to talk about lysosomal storage disease.
Hi, Brandy.
Hi, Brandy. How are you?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
So, Brandy, can you tell us what symptoms first led you to seek out medical care?
Oh, the first thing, I've always been a mover and a shaker. Well, I considered myself a mover and a shaker. And sometime around 2015, 2014, I was working with a multi-state home health agency. And I've been the main breadwinner in our family. My husband is he's a disabled vet. And so he stayed home with the kids and I've always worked. I just started getting so tired. I would sleep in my office. I would shut my office door and I'm managing like 200 employees and I would shut my door and sleep on the floor in the middle of work.
Wow.
And my employees would knock and I'd pretend like I wasn't there. So tired that I couldn't even get myself up. And then at one point, my foot started hurting. It's the weirdest thing. My foot. And it wasn't like gout kind of pain. Okay. It was on the bottom and on the top. And it was just this excruciating pain. I couldn't wear a shoe. I ended up going into the ER because my mom told me, well, maybe you have a blood clot. You need to get in there immediately. And they couldn't figure it out. No one could figure it out. And it lasted for a month.
Wow.
And that was kind of like the big what is happening that made me start getting pretty aggressive as my own advocate.
Okay. Okay. And with the symptoms that you had, was the doctor able to make a diagnosis or did you have to go through extra testing or anything to find out what the symptoms were being caused by?
Well, you know, at first, so I live in this really small town, like super small, outside the Navajo Nation, the Native American reservation in New Mexico.
Okay.
And we are 250 miles from Albuquerque, and that's the closest town.
Okay.
And that's where UNM Hospital is. So the doctors here in town were dumbstruck.
Sure.
I went to a million. And they did every blood test under the sun and they kept telling me, you're normal. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything's fine. It's all in your head.
Oh.
There's nothing wrong. But I didn't believe them because it's my body.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was so angry because I had worked in the healthcare field my entire life. And so a lot of these doctors were my friends.
Okay.
People I had worked with. And no one was hearing me.
Okay.
The most I got was, there's a chronic fatigue clinic in Utah you can go to. And I investigated that. I hate to say thankfully for COVID, but thankfully COVID happened. And I had an interview with an endocrinologist on the phone in Albuquerque. And she was so dismissive that I couldn't handle it anymore. And I was like, she told me, well, the only thing we can do is get you genetic testing. And that's a 5-year wait. And your insurance won't cover it. So we just can't do anything for you. And COVID happened. And so you might as well just wait. And I wasn't going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on Google and I looked up genetic testing.
Okay.
And I found Genome Medical and I reached out to them. I had an interview. And the nice thing was, this is how I thought medicine was supposed to be. Because I talked to the genetic counselor. I told her what I thought I had. I thought initially when I started that I had Ehlers-Danlos.
Mm-hmm.
And she tested me, and I do have Ehlers-Danlos, but another gene pinged on their genetic testing. And so we did another one, and then we did another one, and we did 5 of them.
Okay.
And then they diagnosed me with Fabry's disease.
Okay.
So I got both my mom's genetics and my dad's genetics.
Okay.
And it just took me doing it on my own. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if COVID hadn't happened. I don't think I would have done it if COVID hadn't happened.
Yeah, no.
So the insurance didn't cover any of this? You had to do this on your own dime?
They didn't even try to bill the insurance. They just told me the insurance won't cover it. So we're not even going to try. And you can come back after COVID and maybe we can discuss it then.
Wow.
And I think this is very common for people with what they call those invisible diseases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just kind of get passed on. You mm-hmm. get passed on. And
right.
It takes like an extraordinary something, or like you as the patient yourself just pushing and demanding that somebody listen until you actually make a breakthrough.
Wow. That's terrible.
I didn't say, yeah, that's heartbreaking.
I'm very glad that you,
persistent.
That you were your own advocate and you got through to really the crux of the matter.
Yeah, it's hard.
Well, Brandy, what has been the most challenging thing about living with lysosomal storage disease?
For me, the hardest part has been I don't look sick.
Mm-hmm.
I look normal. I have a daughter with autism, and she was diagnosed at 2, and now she's going to be 18 in like a few days. But when she was growing up, that was a hard thing for her because she was a little girl with autism, and it's not very common for girls. She looks perfectly normal, and I used to feel so bad for her, and then it happened to me. and that's the hardest part, because I graduated from law school, and a lot of my friends are attorneys, and it's not like you just go tell everybody, hey, I want you to know I have an immuno disease, just so it's not something you volunteer. And so a lot of my friends and a lot of the people that I know in my life, they look at me and they think, why are you skipping out of this phone call early? Or why don't you come and go to the movies with us? Or why aren't you doing this? And I didn't sit for the bar exam because I just didn't have the energy to do 16-hour days of studying. I couldn't do it. And I lost a lot of friends in law school because I didn't sit for the bar exam. Wow. And it's because they look at you and they think, there's nothing wrong with you. What's wrong with this person? Mm-hmm. They're just lazy.
We hear this all the time.
Absolutely, we do.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Are you guys related?
I think that's the hardest part.
Sorry, we're talking at the same time.
Yeah, sorry. It's terrible.
It is.
Brandy, before you were diagnosed, had you heard of Fabry's or lysosomal storage disease? Do you know anybody else that has it? And now that you know about it, have you found out, is it in your family or is it a genetic thing?
I'd never heard of it. Never. And I've been in the medical community. I've been a hospital operations officer, that was my deal. I never heard of this before. I watched Dr. House. I thought maybe everything was on House.
Right.
And my father actually passed away 5 years ago. And he had renal kidney failure. He had a kidney transplant. He had serious heart problems, COPD, open heart surgery. And I was always fighting with his medical team to figure out what was wrong with him because he was such a healthy person.
Right.
And nobody could ever give me a reason why his kidneys failed initially.
Okay.
And, it wasn't until I figured all this out a year ago, and I'm like, that's what happened to my father.
Oh.
Nobody knew. No one had any idea.
Oh.
But, and then my great-grandfather had an aortic rupture.
Okay.
And so looking back in my history and now seeing, now I can see that's been in my family for a while. It's just no one ever tested for it.
Right.
Sure.
Wow.
Well, and I think genetic testing is relatively new, and is becoming something that we're is being done more and more often. You have a number of children, so is there a chance that any of your children have inherited these conditions as well?
Oh yeah. So I have 7 children. I have 4 girls and 3 boys.
Great.
And I worry about my boys. I know it's more common in men, and I know it's more deadly in men.
Okay.
And my oldest daughter, who is 19, all her growing up, she's complained about her feet hurting. She's only 4'11", also, which is one of the signs and symptoms that comes along with this. And that's one of the things that we're going to have to look at moving forward with them is. They're all going to have to be tested because if I have both X and Y, or both the genetics for it, I know that that's going to be a problem for them.
Right. Getting back to the insurance thing, I'm going to go off script a little bit here. Now that you have been tested and you have this problem, will your insurance cover testing for the children?
Well, the nice thing about, I don't want to sound like I'm plugging the people that did my test, but the Genome Medical, the Invitae test I did, uh-huh. they will test two of my kids for free.
Okay.
So I know that I will have at least two of the kids tested, mm-hmm. but I'm going to test all of them just because I know what I went through and I don't want any of them to go through it. So that's something I'm going to start.
Okay.
You know, you okay. have to save because these things are expensive.
I'm sure.
One at a time.
So insurance won't cover this?
Insurance generally won't cover genetic tests unless there's some kind of physiological. So like if you have liver problem
okay.
or if you have like a high albumin count for
okay.
your, but they won't do it unless there's a lab that coincides with it. And I went for years with perfect lab work
okay.
and nobody noticed a thing.
Got it. Okay.
That's kind of the catch 22.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
It's
I could
available,
see that.
But it's almost impossible to meet the criteria.
I see.
To get the availability.
Okay. Wow, that's horrible. Wow.
And Brandy, how have you and your healthcare team chosen to treat your condition?
Well, right now, mm-hmm. I have a wonderful nurse practitioner.
Okay.
Love her to death. The problem is she's a nurse practitioner. I'm sure everybody understands how the government hates nurse practitioners versus doctors. So I'm having, you know, she's my mainstay. And I found I went on the government site and I found a clinic out of New Jersey who specializes in Fabry's disease. And so right now I've put my application in to be part of their clinical study and I'm hoping that will encourage them
sure.
take me as a patient.
Yep.
And so that's kind of where I'm working right now because I don't feel like my town is equipped to handle me. And I know that they would like to keep me in my town, but this goes back to being your own advocate. It's really uncomfortable.
When you're saying, you know, New Jersey compared to where are you at?
I'm in Farmington, New Mexico.
New Mexico. I was thinking Utah. Would you have to actually move your entire family across the country?
No, that's not going to happen. I would probably just go up there for the appointments and then come back.
Okay.
I know there are some people, though, who do move. They do make, because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is, you know, my husband's disabled. Mm-hmm. And I have two children with autism.
Right.
We kind of made this our forever landing spot.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
So, Brandy, can you tell us and our listeners the difference between Fabry's lysosomal storage disease and some of the other lysosomal storage diseases that are out there?
So I hate to say it, I'm not a Fabry's expert. I should be. Honestly.
Well, it's new to you right
and
now.
And you sound like you're a rather busy person.
And you're going to learn as you go through medical treatments and, you know, meet with different professionals.
Yeah. But the one thing that I have kind of, because I'm on a Facebook group and I'm on a lot of groups, so I've looked some things up. And I think the main difference really is like what parts of the body are affected by this lysosomal
mm-hmm.
storage disorder. Because it just depends on where your body's going to put the stuff it can't process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So with Fabry's disease, you feel it in your feet and your hands. You start feel it. You get these little nodules under your skin. And that's not common in the other lysosomal storage disorders. The other thing is it affects different organs within the body. So with Fabry's disease, it really attacks kidneys and the heart. And in some of the other diseases, it can attack your liver or your pancreas or your gallbladder. So it's kind of organ dependent.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So do you, when you're saying that it typically affects the heart or the kidneys, can they do a transplant in order to correct the issue, or once you get the transplant, the disease is in your system, and therefore those organs will also end up with Fabry's? I don't know how it works, or if you maybe you
I'm
don't
not
either.
Sure. I've seen them talking about, there's only right now that I know of, there's only two approved drugs on the market that can help you. The other one is Beno. How crazy is that? Beno,
wow.
Which you don't have to, you know, get a prescription for mm-hmm, any. Mm-hmm. So I use Beno because I'm not going through any of that yet, but I do know they've been doing stem cell research
and
blood transfusion type things,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how to turn that one marker off in the genetics. And so I'm not sure if a transplant would do anything. I haven't seen a lot about it. So I imagine it's not something they do, but I do know that they're getting close with CRISPR and all that fabulous, wonderful science.
Right, the federal
government would let them do more.
Right. Well, I think, you know, you're probably, unfortunately, you're in the experimental stage because we're just opening up the doors to all of these different medical advances. And but hopefully by the time your children, if they have, you know, if they've gotten any of these problems, they'll have a little bit better chance at getting some kind of therapies for it. Are there any alternative therapies that can help on Fabry's, like massage or?
Oh man, I've tried massage mostly because I just like massages. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Right, I'm with you.
I've tried massage. Massage is nice, but really when it's like my hands and my feet that cause the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot water, soaking them in hot water with Epsom salt has been really helpful. My grandma suggested I use wax, hot wax.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a big chicken, and I'm like, I don't know, wax would be hot. It would burn
You know what? Ask Jean. Jean, you used to use wax.
Okay.
How is it?
Yeah, it's in like a crock pot so that the temperature is maintained, and it's a very low temperature, and the wax melts at a very, or I should, you know, it's at a low temperature as well. So it's not as though you're using candle wax, which might melt at a higher temperature. You're using a low temp melt wax.
So it's not painful when
it's not at all painful.
I've seen her put her hands into it, and I'm like, oh, but she does it.
Yeah. You just, it's something you could do with the kids, and then you put a plastic bag over it, and then you have like a mold of the kids' hands, and that's kind of fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's it's nice to know because I've been a big chicken. I'm like, that sounds too hot.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it is.
Anything that's new, right?
Right. And it's, but it is low temp.
So, Brandy, I wanted to ask, gastrointestinal problems, they're more common. Does changing the diet help alleviate any of the symptoms?
Or maybe that's why she's doing the Beano.
That could be. I don't know. We'll ask.
Well, you know, that's true, though. You know, there's a lot of gastrointestinal problems associated with this. And I kind of just always thought that was me. I didn't think there was anything weird about it. I always just thought everybody has stomach problems. And now I think back, I'm like, wow, Brandy, you're crazy. You just want to punish yourself if you think everyone in the world feels like this. But, you know, the Beano really helps. The other thing, they don't have a specific diet. I've never seen on the CDC website or anywhere where there's a diet that's recommended.
Okay.
But what I do and what I found works for me is I am on the one meal a day diet. And I say that loosely because I only eat one meal a day. And I try to eat in the evenings so that I eat before I go to bed. And I know that's like exactly opposite what they tell you in nutrition. But I take two Beano, I wait 30 minutes, and then I eat, and I try not to eat any meat because I know meat's really hard on my system. I know that bread's hard on I can't have any bread. I have to be careful with the vegetables. You can't win with this thing. Try to be careful with the vegetables because the very gassy vegetables like broccoli, those can make it impossible to sleep and keep me up all night with just gut-wrenching stomach pain. So that's why I try to eat in the eat right before I go to bed is hopefully I'll sleep through a lot of the pain that is associated with digesting.
The only thing is, on the other side, you hate to try to be sleeping when you're in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that can be the only time you don't feel pain.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Gosh. Wow.
It's difficult to...
But you do know which foods to avoid because they'll cause more discomfort, so you just avoid them. You could write a book. Hey, you could write a book. Yeah. Let's write a book, Brandy.
Oh, come on. Oh, boy.
It's so novel. It would be its own thing. It'd be a new thing.
Well, I think having seven kids, no doubt you have a million stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my. Anyway, that's another reason it's better to eat at night because then I don't, you know, that's the thing I think is a lot of us don't realize how fast we eat and how, like, busy we get around mealtime.
Sure.
And it's a super important thing for me because of my Fabry's disease. So I can't eat with my kids. It just can't happen.
Oh,
there's so much talking and moving, and you know, you've got a 6-year-old running this way with a fork, and you got a 19-year-old telling you about her college, and then you know, a 10-year-old redhead who wants to make cookies.
That's adorable. It sounds chaotic, but you know what? I'm from a family of 8 kids, so I can really enjoy that chaos.
Right, and if she doesn't have it, she creates her own.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm just saying, Ma.
All right, moving on.
All right,
And we were talking about family and everything.
Yes.
What role has your family taken in your healthcare journey, and how have friends and family helped, and what do you wish friends and family knew, too?
Oh, my husband has been my rock. He has been the number one person in my life who has been there for me, because it is really such an emotional journey from what's wrong to a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a lifetime original, mm-hmm. the kind mm-hmm. of thing you go through.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I always laugh because he's got a TBI and he's got serious PTSD. So he's got bad memory and he gets irritable easy. And I'm always tired. And so we say, between the two of us, we're a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's gone to every doctor's visit with me. And you get to a low point when you're trying to go through a diagnosis. And he was there for me to be my voice when I was just so discouraged, seeing doctor after doctor who dismissed me and dismissed. And he would take over when I would be so sad and I just couldn't talk to anyone.
Okay.
And, you know, he was amazing. And my friends from school, Jill, Amy, and Crystal, they've been amazing. I don't know if you can see my fancy hairdo, but my head's shaved because your hair falls out. Part of this is some people's hair falls out. And it was really embarrassing because you'd have spots, and I didn't want to be a slave to my hair.
Sure, sure.
So I was like, you're going to be my slave hair. So I cut it off.
Okay.
Master of my own destiny.
And, right.
You know, my friends bought me wigs. Mm-hmm. They wore wigs. They encouraged me. A lot of my friends surprisingly came out and told me, you know, I have the same problem. And so for me, I'm very vain. I'm so vain. Like, I'm like, my hair, of all my problems, my hair. and so they, you know, they have been a huge support for me. And I didn't see that coming. I never expected that kind of support from friends. So.
Sorry, I lost my screen there for a second. Go ahead.
But yeah, that's fantastic. Kudos to them for being there for you.
Ron, do you want to walk on Jean since she walked on you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to step on anybody.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Can you tell us how common this lysosomal storage disease is?
So it's kind of varied. I've you know, being a lawyer, statistics is something I can do. I can read them. I can't make them. I can read them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've looked up the statistics to just see, because I've heard it's very rare. And it kind of varies. You know, rarediseases.org says that they think there's one in every 5,000 live births. But that is just from recent testing in 2013. So they're working on just one study. And I think it was Georgia or North Carolina, something like, so just one study.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go to fabrydisease.org, they say there's probably only about 3,230 males in the United States with Fabry.
Oh, well, then that's
very rare.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, if that's males, what about females?
Right. It's even less common.
Well, it's harder to figure out with females, because the way that we get our genes, you know, women get the XX and then men get XY. And so a lot of what they call junk DNA in women, they have a lot of it. And it just sits there and it's not actually active.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually have it, but it's not turned on.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that can test positive, but it's not an active gene.
Gotcha.
So they have a hard time figuring out how many women have it, because most women that have it, it is not turned on in. So that's one of those, because it's such a rare thing, they've got to start doing some science and calculation stuff. I don't do no math.
Right,
you
right,
do
right.
Some math stuff.
Right, right, right.
And,
I hear you.
Yeah, and I just heard that there is actually a new career field, and I'm trying to rack my brain to think of what it's called, but it looks at like proton tunneling in DNA and in genetics. So it's taking I can't even explain it, but I'll try to think of what it is and then put a link at our webpage, because it's an entirely new perspective and new way of looking at genes and how genes, how there's mutations and how the genes are turned on or off. And it's a fascinating new career field in science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Brandy, how do you find the time to raise seven kids? And you went to law school, and you're also a volunteer?
And your LinkedIn page is like 12 pages long. I mean, you know, yeah, you make us all feel like underachievers. Sorry.
No, I've listened to y'all's podcast before, and I am a big believer in keeping time. You've used your Alexa to set timers on Alexa.
Yep.
Okay. I have many notebooks. I have calendars on the walls in every room. I like my kids are like, Mom, you're OCD.
No, it's not. You got to do
you
it.
You have
right,
to be.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have to. And with seven kids, and, you know, they all have things they want to do, I've got to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So that means that everyone's got to write it down.
Yep.
Or it's going to get missed. And the other thing I've started doing as a result of law school and all the pressure from law school and the kids is I started making. I only do one appointment a day.
No, I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely. I am a big believer in that. Yes.
Just one, because I can't do more than that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if it's a phone call, if it's going to be like an ugly phone call where you've got to call and say, I know I'm late paying my utility bill, or if it's calling the school and talking to a teacher who's not happy, I make sure there's nothing the day before or the day after, because I find that the emotional conversations are the most taxing on me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They will lay me out longer than if the kids want to go in the backyard and play. That's not as hard as the emotional.
Sure.
Taxing.
Right. Sure. Well, you learn that quickly and you've already put it into action.
Yeah. And that's great advice.
That's wonderful advice. Wonderful advice.
Well, your podcast taught me that. So okay. You guys and all your notes.
Okay.
Okay for us.
Yeah.
Brandy, what tips or hints or any advice do you have for someone who may have recently gotten diagnosed with lysosomal storage disease? Anything you can share
besides
from your
the beano?
Besides the beano.
Yeah, we have some in the cabinet.
I'm going to get it out.
Yeah.
I would say, find this podcast. Find a Facebook group. You know,
I like her.
Yeah.
Find other people who have gone
right.
on this journey.
Sure.
It's not a common journey.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult to do things by yourself, and when you feel like you're by yourself in the world, so I can understand that.
And you want other people to tell you that you're not crazy. And that's one of the big things is I'm not crazy. Like,
right. It's not in your head. It's
well, you said it.
Disease.
I mean, you know your body.
Right.
Yeah. And you go through so many doctors and they're like, oh, your labs are fine. You must be fine. And so in your head, you're like, wait a minute. Maybe I am just making all this up. But if you find other people who are going through the same thing, you'd be surprised, especially the embarrassing things. And I have to put that out there. The embarrassing things are very important. And I'm talking like bowel movements
uh-huh.
and intestines. And we don't want to talk about that with our moms or our friends. Sometimes we don't even talk about to our doctors. You
mm-hmm.
just, that's something we all kind of want to keep close. But those are important things. And it's not embarrassing. And you're not crazy. And there are other people who are experiencing
right.
the same things. You may not even know is a problem. And that was one thing with me. I was just like, oh, I'm always like this. My intestines are always like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been like this since I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not normal. And you don't know that until someone else goes, well, I was diagnosed with whatever, and this is my thing. And you're like, oh, me too.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Kindred spirits in the bathroom.
Yep.
Brandy, it's been a pleasure having you on the show and hearing your story. How can our listeners learn more about you and, well, your journey with lysosomal storage disease? Can we share anything? Or can you share anything with us?
Well, like I said, my LinkedIn page is like 25 pages mm-hmm. long. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing interesting there. if you have an immune disorder and you're in law school, I tutor for free. I provide free tutoring to law school students because I want to help people. I know how hard it was for me to get through it. And so I like to make sure that everybody who's in it can get through it if they want to. If you go to my Facebook baby bar page, it's like, I got to go to my notes.
Go right ahead. It's all right.
It's been www.babybar.com on Facebook or something like that.
And okay.
I have free resources for people. And if you need to reach out to me, even if you just want to send me a message like, hey, I think this, you know, this is how I feel. Is that how you feel? Even if you're not in law school.
Right.
That's the best way to get in touch with me.
Okay, so. Great. If you send us a link, I'll make sure that I have the exact link on our website. We build a page for each of our guests on our website, and I put as many links as I can. Whatever you give me, I'll put on there.
And then Ron's daughter will be calling
you
soon.
I was just going to say that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Ron's daughter is studying to be a lawyer.
Yeah, she's studying with the LSAT right now.
Ooh, the LSAT's hard. I'll tell you, that's a confusing test.
Yeah, she's bitten off a lot. She's bitten off a lot, but she loves her internship, and who knows?
Yeah.
So I'll have her get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm. That's right, you do.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We know you are extraordinarily busy.
Absolutely.
And we really appreciate it. Thank you, Brandy. And I know I've learned a lot, and I think our mm-hmm. listeners will have learned a lot as well.
For sure.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. You guys are amazing, and you guys do good work, and you help more people than I think you know. And I encourage everyone to come and listen because you'll learn a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We have a website, podcastdx.com. We're also found on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.